We thank you, sir. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2069, Rudolph Joseph Johnson.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a workout studio to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 21,962 square feet, more or less. The property is located on the north side of Clay Road, Road 269, approximately 600 feet east of Shady Road, Road 276. The 911 address is 34001 Clay Road, Lewis. The tax map is District 335, Map 12.06, Parcel 58. Staff would note for the record, there was a staff analysis associated with the application. We've also received comments from the Department of Transportation as their response to the service level evaluation request. Received comments regarding from the Sussex County Department of Utility Planning Division, and we've also received comments from the United Natural Resources Conservation Service regarding soils. There was also a site plan submitted for the record, and there was an exhibit booklet. We also have received a petition in opposition to the application requesting the denial of the property, and it was signed by over a dozen people. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Okay, is there someone here representing this application?
Good evening. Robert Gibbs here with Morris James on behalf of the applicant. You've just heard the summary by Janelle Cornwell. Janelle, did you bring up any either of the diagrams? Janelle's my left hand. Thank you. The subject property is pretty much dead center there with the yellow circle around it on the north side of Clay Road. That group of properties in the center is largely residential. This is a very mixed zone area. There's commercial. I don't know if you have the zoning map, but there's commercial zoning all around. There's B1 zoning all around, it's basically the corridor between the two roads coming into Lewis, and it's used, you know, all the time as a sort of a crossover. So there's a mix of business and residential and B1. This property, the application booklet has first a copy of the application, which shows that it's a request for it's a very small building. It's going to be used for a workout studio. I think we've already suggested hours of 9 to 5, just Monday through Friday. A lot of times the workout yoga therapist is basically what she is. Works one-on-one, but sometimes she'll have 5 or 6 in a class, but it's a very small building. It's shown on exhibit tab 1. There's a survey there that shows, and it's the small building right in the middle of the property. It's about 14 by 24 and a half, so it's a very, very small building. Mr. Johnson admittedly got a little ahead of himself. He's not the master of diplomacy, but he's here with trying to fully comply with all of the requests and requirements in this conditional use application. Tab 3 shows an aerial photograph that shows, this is a little out of date, but it shows the primary residence up in the front, and just shows one other building on there. At the time of that photograph, that building is now gone, but the plot survey that you just looked at does show the proposed layout. There's another aerial view that shows all of the housing and commercial buildings. It's directly across the street from Poor's Energy. Down the street is Sherman Oil, and they're basically at the entrance, it's the north end of Clay. Is more commercial, and down towards the far end on Clay Road is not as much commercial, but as soon as you get around the corner, you're into more commercial. It backs up onto Clay Road. I don't know that I need to go through each of the exhibits that are in the book. You've got the, besides the zoning map, you've got the strategic, state strategic map that shows this in level two. There are some Google photographs of the roadway approaching the property and leaving the property under tab six. Tab seven has a larger pullout version of the site plan, which shows a little better, you know, the layout of the buildings on the property and the building proposed for the studio. Tab eight's the Department of Transportation report requiring no TIS because of the minimal impact on survey. Tab nine, I have included Mr. Johnson's neighbors, you know, approval or consent or support of this application. I have a supplement to that. Janelle, did you get my email? Which I can, if I can approach, I can.
I give that to our to okay. our council, and he'll decide whether or not it can be admitted.
It's basically it's just a listing of what was already presented under. Tab nine.
Yeah,
there's
fine.
Three more letters that Mr. Johnson has with him tonight, but that's the whole group of properties that where neighbors consented, and there's a map that is also with that exhibit.
That's fine.
Is it? How many do you need?
We need to make sure that you have one. That should be good.
The map. Do you have the map also, Janelle?
This one.
It was emailed over. Okay.
Well, this will be part of the record. So this corresponds with those tax parcel numbers.
It does.
Yeah, and that, Mr. Chairman, that's fine because it's, I mean, this is
public
information
record.
That's all public record. Yeah.
Yep.
But that map shows that there's a pretty good level of support both from the adjoining residences. No, it's a pullout map that was at the second part of the paperclip exhibit that's being passed around.
Just to be clear, Mr. Gibbs, 57 and 59 that are referred to on the list, numbers 9 and 10, that is, in fact, these two parcels?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the immediately adjacent neighbors.
And
okay.
the map right on the back of what you're holding on to, underneath the paperclip, if you fold, not that one, the other one, there we go. If you fold that out, you'll see the, we highlighted the property right in the middle with a little bit of red, and then all of the yellow shaded are consenting property owners. That also shows the the proximity of this property to across from Poor's and so forth.
Okay.
Tab 10, we went ahead and prepared a proposed findings of fact and considerations and conditions of approval, which I'm sure. Mr. Robertson will look over and tell us if we need something else. I did want to make a couple of notes that this project got a little bit ahead of itself, and there are permits pending and approvals that have already been obtained as far as the wastewater and hook into the sewer. The EDUs have already been paid for and analyzed. That's one of the exhibits, and I think there was also a report from Sussex County Utility Department, which is in your file, which came into the file just 2 days ago. When I looked at that, I questioned it because it says on the second page under condition five, that in answer to the question, is it likely that additional SCCs connections charges would be required? It says yes if EDU assessment increases. And the point I wanted to make is that is if it increases beyond what has already been calculated and approved. There are already 2.5 EDUs calculated, approved for everything that's before this board tonight and paid for. I brought a separate analysis from Rob Davis in the Sussex County utility about the analysis of the EDUs, just in case there was a question on that. But I think that's probably part of your record as well. This is the let me just pull something here. The statute on conditional uses here, it just allows for certain uses to be approved by this board if they fit in. It says the uses are generally of a public or semi-public character, essential and desirable for general convenience and welfare. Here, this property is being used essentially residentially. This yoga studio, if it was an owner-occupied property, would be essentially like a home office. It would not be viewed as a heavy commercial use, and certainly dovetails, I think, well with a residential development. It's not a high usage, and I think it very much fits in with the very mixed use nature of the community. And there is support. We realize there is opposition. I would say one thing on behalf of Mr. Johnson on the petition for opposition. The leader of the opposition has gone out of his way to continue to make references to Mr. Johnson's conditional use application of several years ago when he was thinking about putting his office in there, which was clearly a commercial use. His office is out on Route 1, and that's where it's going to stay, and there's no attempt to turn this into an office or anything the way it was sort of portrayed as this was just a, you know, I don't know. It speaks for itself, but I think it led maybe some of the people to believe that there was going to be a greater use than just this little yoga studio. It really is not anything out of character with the residential nature of the adjoining properties. So I have Mr. Johnson here. He also went out and took some pictures of the signage along this. It's not a very tight little residential neighborhood as the opposition would lead you to believe. There are residences on one side of the property, on one side of Clay Road, but there's also literally heavy industrial on the other side, both ends of the road, and it's really kind of a semi-commercial corridor through there. So I think unless the board needs those, we have a lot of pictures of signs and things of business and quasi-business matters going along Clay Road there, but I'm not sure we need it. Mr. Johnson is here certainly to answer any questions that the board may have and speak in support of the application if you'd like to. You all right? So, well, we're both here for questions.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Ms. Stevenson?
I was just curious about the number of people. You said up to 10. How many people might be there at a time?
I asked the same question this evening as I came in just to make sure. He thinks that the most that this girl has there, because it really is a tiny room. I mean, if she has
I drive by this place every single day, so yes, I've seen the building.
if she has a class, I think if she has more than six people, it would start to get crowded in there.
Yes,
there might be yoga.
Sir, excuse me, if you're going to speak, I need you to get up and introduce yourself.
This is Joe Johnson.
Name and address, please.
Joe Johnson. I live on 213 Chandler Street in Milton.
Okay, thank you.
The property address is 46 Clay Road.
Okay.
She's there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I wanted to, if we released the property to somebody else, I was hoping for the 9 to 5, you know, if she ever left. That's why we stuck with the 9 to 5. Right. But she's only there 3 days a week, and on Monday night she does have a class where I believe six or seven people go there. But it's a very low impact. It's usually one-on-one. In fact, I go to her myself on Wednesdays and work out with her myself. So it's usually all one-on-one.
Right. I do want to just make you aware that something you said caught my ear when you said if you leased it to someone else. This conditional use is very specific. You could lease it to someone else if it's approved. You could lease it to someone else for the same purpose.
Okay.
But this is not a blanket approval to use it any way you wish. The conditional use is very specific, and the commission has very broad latitude to place conditions and stipulations on it, and it'll be just for that specific activity. But as long as it is that specific activity, you will be free to use it that way if it is approved.
Okay, and she's been a tenant for 8 years. She's mm-hmm. not going anywhere, but you know how people tend to uproot sometimes. I was just...
Indeed. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that you understood. Yes. You couldn't put a tanning salon in there after the yoga place.
I understand. And if she were to leave, I would have to ask for permission to do...
Whatever you wanted to do next.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Good job.
So the only other question I had was then parking spaces. How many parking spaces are you thinking you're going to need? because it's not a huge area.
Actually, she's been there, I believe it's been 2 years, and there's never been a real parking issue. There's a driveway around the building, so there's parking. There's ample parking, but there's really, it doesn't get used much, but there is parking on site. It's large driveway.
All right, thank you.
And they would have to comply if it gets approved with the county's parking requirements for site plan, so.
Okay.
That's all I had.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hudson?
I have one question about the, looking at the lot and in tab one here, the rear building says proposed building, and then the middle building, I guess the 14 by 24 is what you're talking about building there. What would be the next building in the rear?
The rear building is a three-car garage that basically John Davidson, a local builder, basically gave me, and I was going to use it for storage for myself to store cars and motorcycles.
Okay, so the 24 by 14 is the one you'll use for the yoga studio. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
I think Mr. Johnson mentioned that they, to me at least, that the rear building is stopped before it is finished being installed, but it is permitted.
Okay.
Just everything is on hold until we get through this process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
You're good. Mr. Ross?
I take it she's not planning on having any employees.
No, she's 111. She's smart.
It's easier that way. How about a sign of any kind to advertise a business?
She has no sign there. She has her following and clientele, because I asked her, you know, if we get this permit, can we probably would be able to put a sign up, and she said she really doesn't need a sign, but if she would like to, would I be allowed to put a small sign up on the building?
You would be allowed a 4x8, 30 square feet, double-sided sign.
Okay. And would I apply for that, or I'd just be allowed for 4x8?
No, we can include it in the condition if we decided to recommend approval, and then if the council agreed, then you would be allowed to have a 4x8.
Okay. Thank you. Because at this point, she hasn't asked for it, but it would be a nice option if she wanted it.
Just for the record, we did include a sign, just as was just stated, in the conditions for a single sign of that nature, just in case. I covered you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Do you anticipate her playing any music or anything of that nature? Does she have any kind of background music during these workouts or sessions?
She does have music playing, but she keeps it low, and obviously I've had neighbors on both sides sign off. They know we keep a clean operation and we keep it quiet, and the neighbor across the street also, they signed off on. They said they've been there 2 years and there's never been a problem.
Okay. So. That's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Ms. Walls?
None for me, thank you.
Mr. Brandewey?
None, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Counselor?
None, thank you.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2069, Rudolph Joseph Johnson? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2059? Yes, sir, come on up. Give us your name and address, please, and you may have the floor.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Bill Kirsch. I reside at 34019 Clay Road, two doors from Mr. Johnson's property. I'd like to dispute a couple of the claims that they made here tonight. Clay Road from West Coates to Kings Highway is contiguous residential. The only commercial business within that stretch of highway is Poor's Propane, who has been there for decades and is grandfathered in. Across the street from us is agricultural use for perpetuity, state-owned, dedicated to the state with that clause. The petition identifies the people adjacent to this property that are opposed to it. They're opposed to it. Yes, we are not a close-knit neighborhood. We don't barbecue and grill together. But we are, like me, 60-plus years old. This is our only residence. We like our privacy. There's appropriate places for business, small or large, and they're not on our street in our neighborhood where it's not conducive to it, from our roadways from the residential uses adjacent. The people that have supported this across the street is Porous Propane. Why would they be opposed to it? I would venture to say that the predominance of people that are within eyesight and 200 feet of this property have signed their names to the petition that I presented to the council, to the board. We referred to the 2012 denial. I submitted a similar petition in 2012 to deny Mr. Johnson a variance for his commercial electrical business on this property. Within months of that denial, Mr. Johnson proceeded to install everything on the site that he intended to install for his electrical business. He was unable to put his office in this small building, so he is now putting a commercial yoga studio in this business. It is no more compliant with our code than his electrical business. It made no mention of the garage that's two stories. What is the top story to be utilized for? Three stories? Is it incidental to the yoga business? Is it incidental to the residential use? Will the residents have exclusive or any use of that dwelling once if it is approved and allowed to exist? He has circumvented every approval, every permit, until coerced to do so. This is an established electrician and developer in our county, who, upon building the building, putting it on site, immediately inhabited it, connected it to the residential use, to their power panel, which the residents in that rental property experienced power outages whenever there were classes held because the power panel was overwhelmed. This is an electrician. This is a man with an established electrical business. I'm trying to portray his intent to do what he desires to do, regardless of regulation, in every way. What he currently runs there now, he has been allowed to do and referred to as an existing business. It's not an existing business. I first approached the planning, the council, when they started conducting classes there approximately 2 years ago, and I have dozens of emails with the council on their intent and then their progression into conducting business, people coming and going during peak hours onto Clay Road, with no real parking other than a gravel lot backing onto Clay Road, 3,600 ADTs a day. The area, my final statement, is not conducive to a commercial business in the midst of residential, residents who are opposed to it. There are ample places within our community, within Savannah Road, within Route 1 corridor, that are conducive to commercial business. This is not one of them. I hope that the people that have signed the petition and read the petition and understand the impact to our neighborhood will play a role in your decision to deny this conditional use. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate that. Who else would anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I just have one comment for clarification based on the statement that Mr. Kirsch made. He did apparently have some emails to the county, and Mr. Costello, who at the time was our constable, I think when this all started, did go out and investigate, and that goes back into last year. It looks like there was a meeting with building code assessment and planning and zoning. and also involving the engineering department. So there's been a constant effort to monitor what's going on there to make sure that there's not anything that's out of compliance, and then also advice given to the property owner as to what needed to happen to seek compliance, which led to this conditional use application and the direction of the ordinance and the application, et cetera.
Was there ever a violation? Was there a violation?
It doesn't look like from Mr. Costello's letter to Mr. Kirsch dated December 6, 2016. It looks to, and Mr. Costello, I suppose you could elaborate, but it looks as though the concern was brought to the county's attention. The county went out, investigated, had various meetings with all the county departments that had, you know, some relevant input on it. And like so many property owners where this comes up, they were told that it appears essentially you're going to get violated if you don't apply for the appropriate permits to go forward. And it, we're here today, so obviously that occurred.
Okay, so he was advised of,
yeah,
of
the need for the conditional
the
use.
Need, the need for him to do this, and he came in and did it.
Okay. Yeah, and that letter is actually attached as an exhibit to the petition, and I assume it's in our file as well for this application.
Yes.
So it was thoroughly investigated.
Okay.
By the county.
All right. Anyone else have anything?
One comment. There's he said it was all residential, but there's an accounting office two or three doors down from him, I think.
And I thought George Sherman was on that same street.
Yeah, I thought there was a number of them.
Yeah. Well, what many have, for just for the benefit of the public, in nearly every case, the commissioners do in fact visit the sites before we have a public hearing. We get our information ahead of time. We can't go together because that would be against the FOIA regulations, but individually we'll take a ride down, take a look at the site. So it isn't as if we're not, that we're unfamiliar with, you know, with the territory. And I would suspect that most, if not all of us, had made that trip sometime in the last few weeks. Some of us are there every day, whether we want to be or not. I happen to get on that road frequently myself, so I'm quite familiar with the area and the traffic patterns. So anything else, commissioners? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is change of zone.